This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. Today I want to talk to you about the illusory conception of life. Now, there's a lot going on in our society where people are talking to one another about waking up. And we've kind of covered this previously. Because in general, the concept of waking up is really waking up to affairs that you weren't aware of before, or waking up to deception that you've been under, waking up to activities that were going on in another field of life that you hadn't had contact with, and becoming more overall informed is really the concept around the waking up idea. However, the waking up is far deeper than that, in the sense that the problem we have is the illusory conception of life. Not informed or misinformed or disinformed or uninformed, but our conception of life, our conception of values, our conception of identity, our conception of goals, our conception of duty. These are all the perspective of life that we have misconstrued. Now, the Vedic literature takes this from a much higher point of view, and again, as we do regularly on our program, we start from the top and work down as opposed to bottom up. So from the top-down concept of life and of illusion versus reality, the basic reality roots in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because from everything, everything emanates from God. That is the method of creation, that is the method of manifestation. All of the ingredients that we living entities maneuver, manipulate, adjust, control, destroy, is all created by someone else. We come here with nothing, babies. We leave with nothing. The body's laying on the bed. We're gone. And so in the interim, we're using all of the material manifestation for satisfying desires and fulfilling goals, etc. Okay? Now, the conception that we employ or adopt for the manipulation of the material energy for the duration of our life is either factual or illusory. Now, generally speaking, when you accept a material body, you identify, I am this body. Right now, if someone asks you who you are, you'll give them your name, address, or parent, or lineage, or city, or something of that variety, proving yourself different from other persons and establishing your identity relative to your body. Now, this is a misconception, okay? So what happens is, as soon as you're born, bang, you get trained in the misconception, and you don't get trained in the fact that you are an eternal living entity who's come here for a short period of time. You will leave here before very long. You come with nothing. You leave with nothing. In the interim, you actually have a duty. Now, we know everybody has desires, but we also have duty. And generally speaking, our parents, our school, our interaction with society, our growing up, our hormonal changes, they all support the bodily conception of life and the concept that you're here to satisfy your desires. I've continually mentioned the, as long as you enjoyed, it's okay, concept of life that we're getting bounced back and forth constantly. We see it on television all the time. We see it in society all the time. The young people are constantly approving things by the concept that I enjoyed, therefore it's acceptable. So this is the evidence that we're on the bodily conception of life as opposed to our true spiritual identity. We have an eternal life, spiritually eternal living beings. That's what we are. And we take a temporary material body, we have an existive period in this identification associated with and identified around the body. Okay. Now, The Vedic literature, and I'm sure you and I, on a general cognitive basis, are aware that there are other forces here besides you and I. This person has energy and force and influence, the next one, everybody has a type of it, some more, some less, but everybody has some influence on each other, and we also recognize there is a higher authority in nature. Nature is above all of the living entities. It exists before you as a living entity arrive. It exists after you as a living entity leave. It has its own forces. Now, the Vedic literature is clearly described. This is called the external energy of the Lord. Nature, material nature. It is a dynamic force of God. Okay, it is not dead. It's not like stone. It's not like a piece of wood. Nature is dynamic. Nature does cause influences. How many times have you heard somebody, oh, that's natural. Kids growing up, I feel funny. I'm changing. I want this. I don't like that. I'm interested in girls now. It's all natural, we say. And we identify that there is a force that is pushing the living entity in a particular body from the stage of birth through to maturity on through existence and forces you or them, everyone, to old age and death. Now, this is an external higher force. No one wants to get old, but we do, and we can't stop it. No one wants to die, but we do, and we can't stop it. Now, to be clear here, I'm talking about the body dies. We, you and I, the eternal living entities, we don't die, we leave. When the body is no good and is useless, and we can't make it move or work or do anything of significance, fulfill our desires, it dies, and we move on to another body. But the point I'm making is that there is a force, a superior force to you and I as cognizant, eternal living entities that is controlling the manifestation we're living in and controlling the bodies we are temporarily energizing. And that force is creating a time cycle for your duration of life, and it's creating a variety of influences, good and bad, according to the qualities of your work in your previous lives. So there's a strong set of influences here. Now, my point today is that it's illusory. Now, what I'm saying is, once you take the body and you identify with the body, that forms an illusory perspective of life. You now see your life and the material manifestation and everyone here and all of the activities that are taking place from a bodily conception of life. You're either a big player on the stage of life, or you're an insignificant person on the stage of life. But you're on the stage of life that's determined by the body you've accepted. So the Vedic literature says that this misconception is the one you have to overcome. This is what's known as liberation, nirvana, freedom from attachment to temporary things. This is a higher state of consciousness to get free from this misconception. So now, this is the higher concept of freeing oneself from the illusion or waking up. You're waking up to your eternal occupational duty and responsibility instead of the temporary one that is relative to the identity of the body you currently inhabit. Now, actually, we're not in bondage. We are in a temporary material body, and our conceptions are imposed upon us by the parents immediately. Eat your food, get up, sit down, dress yourself, go to bed. All these things from the parents, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of expectations are imposed upon the child. And similarly, school does the same thing. You have to read, you have to count, you know your numbers, know your letters. You have to develop your school capabilities, interactive skills, communications, etc. And it's all done on a platform of acceptability. You can't swear when you talk to people. You have to use polite terminology. And you can't get angry and go over and beat somebody to death. You have to voice your discontent. So all of this is done on a platform that you're trained in from the very time you take birth. And it strengthens, hardens the material conception of life for everyone. And thereby it makes it difficult for us to revive our lost consciousness as eternal living entities who have an eternal duty. Now, the Vedic literature, it starts the other way. It says, you are an eternal living entity. You are created as a servant of God. You are to develop love of God in that service and achieve ultimate happiness. Yet we don't have that being taught in society, because society is subjected to the same material misconception. As soon as someone takes birth, they identify with that body. And you can see that. A calf is born. It immediately looks for the teat and rubs against the mother. A bug is born. It immediately climbs up the wall and starts to build a web. Immediately when the living entity takes birth in a particular type of body, he identifies with that body and exhibits the characteristics that that body brings under the control of nature. So, the Vedic literature is a whole new step level above that, and it is telling you, you have to revive your eternal consciousness in the human form of life. Because the bug and the calf and the other species, they can't revive it. They can't analyze it and get it figured out. They can't read the Vedic literature and understand things in proper perspective. So in the human form of life, you have a responsibility to revive your lost God consciousness, to recognize I am an eternal part and parcel of God, created to render a unique type of service to the Lord for His satisfaction. And in fulfilling that satisfaction, I find and experience the highest form of happiness. Now, there was something I was reading the other day about how sex is the topmost form of enjoyment one can have in the bodily conception of life. It is the topmost pleasure because the Lord wants to induce reproduction. That the living entities are to conceive and reproduce and sustain the species in the manifestation. In the human form of life, we're supposed to develop our consciousness and to produce God-conscious children so that society can be guided by an intelligent class and can revive this very subject we're talking about, their eternal occupational duty of servants of God. Now, in the spiritual world, sex life is absent because it's so insignificant. The eternal living entities taste pleasure, satisfaction, enjoyment, enlightenment, bliss through the exchange of loving service. It's a completely, totally evolved, much higher level of enjoyment than the physical sensations we have here. So we see that this is not being taught. And it's essential in the human form of life not to misuse the opportunity to sort this side of knowledge into proper perspective, because in the other species you can't do it. So if you misuse your human form of life and you're only concerned about eating and sleeping and sex, and the play, the onstage part you play in the role of life, you can fall back down into the other lower species of life where you can't get this sorted out. So we have to understand that the influences that we're under because we take a birth, the influences that we're under because of a society who does not know the correct perspective of life, and the misconceptions we carry within ourselves of trying to be happy and enjoy independent of our eternal relationship with the Lord brings us into a status of illusion. And the illusion is extremely strong. And it pulls one into hallucination. We see, we think, we value, we work and fight for things that actually have no value whatsoever on the eternal platform of life. They're all relative to the bodily conception and the material predicament that we find ourselves in. Now, you can stop and think for a moment, what would life be like if you were born in 1800 or 1920 or 1940 or 2000 or today? There's all different conceptions on the social strata as to what matters. In 1800, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water. There was a variety of things that they didn't have accomplished that we take for granted as normal. And so we're born into this society, and we expect to have a flush toilet and a flash screen and a fancy car and the ability to move and fly from one side of the planet to the other, but 150 years ago, they were unheard of. So the living entities who took birth in the human form of life 150 years ago had a completely different conception of what is important than we do today. And all of it is wrong. It's called illusion. Because you're not the man of 1800. You're not the man of 1900. You're not the man of 2000. You're the eternal living entity who has an eternal occupational duty to render service to the Lord and achieve the highest perfection. So our taking birth in the material world automatically sets us into an illusory perspective of life. And we see how now that people are trying to analyze what's going on, and they're all talking about waking up and freeing themselves from the illusion as though it's some fixed, stagnant perspective of life, that if you get a few new facts, ta-da, you now see things better or differently, and it's over. No. The illusory conception is totally submerging you. You are floundering, barely keeping yourself above to get a breath, shall we say, above the waterline, in the illusion of life and the values of life, and missing the eternal occupational opportunity to experience the topmost standard of living, of life, of enjoyment, beyond thousands and thousands of times greater than anything we can experience in the illusory conception of life. So in the Vedic literature, this material conception of life is described as suffering. Because we're misidentifying something as important or true or valuable that wasn't a century ago or two centuries ago, that won't be in another century or two centuries, it's an illusion. It's our temporary manifested illusion. And we need to free ourselves from those conceptions and realign ourselves with what is the service concept of life. Now, in our pure consciousness, we're supposed to think seriously about our position and understand that we are eternally subordinate to the Lord. Even in this material world, where we have the bodily conception of life, we are under the control of the material, external energy of the Lord. We're still subordinate. So subordination is a fact of life, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state. In the conditioned state, there's only material pleasure to be had. And in the liberated state, there is the spiritual bliss, happiness, fulfillment to be had. Completely different subjects. So The living entity has the opportunity in the human form of life to make that distinction and to move himself from the temporary conception to the spiritual conception by reading the Vedic literature. Those that are in the material conception of life, they become illusioned, they think they're the controller, they try to dominate others, they try to lead people on a path of perfection on stage. They try to force their opinions, they try to criticize everyone. All of this is completely illusory. The example given in Vedic literature is the illusory concept that in a dream, you can see that someone cuts off your head. And you see, oh my gosh, someone cut off my head. It's hanging over there now. Oh my goodness. Well, wait a minute. If someone takes off your head, the ability to see is gone. But since you're in a dream, you have the hallucination that you're doing it and not being stopped from doing it simultaneously. You have a head to watch what's going on, but you're watching the loss of your head simultaneously. This is hallucination. And that's what we're doing in this material world. We're actually living a mild form of hallucination. It's actually a struggle, a suffering, a frustration. But we're trying to say, no, I'm happy. It's cool. I understand what's going on. I'm all right with it. And what you're all right with is a hallucination. You're not this body. You're not Mr. or Miss or so-and-so person. You're not of this age or sex or gender or race or species. You're not of any of that. You're an eternal living entity who's temporarily taken a material body to experience desires, to fulfill a desire to enjoy something without God's intervention, without God's participation. You want to do it yourself. You want to have a 3D reality opportunity to enjoy in a variety of ways, and that is called material existence. And that is why it's called illusory. Because the energy, nature, material energy of nature influence you to think that this is you, your body, your life, your right to enjoy, have a good time. It's okay as long as you enjoyed. This is the misconception. This is where illusion comes from. And you have to see, it's not that you've missed it. You're forced. The opportunity is in the break between death and rebirth. That's where the opportunity is for you to stop and not take another birth. Because once you take another birth, you will be forced by nature to exhibit the characteristics of the type of body you have accepted. If it's a human form of life, you have a chance. You can get out of it in this very life and see things in proper perspective and manipulate your life, your wishes, your desires such that they're for your betterment again. But if you don't, or if you're in a species of life where you can't, you remain forced in an illusory conception and identify with the body and exhibit the characteristics of that body during your duration on stage in the material world. And nature is the dynamic force that is controlling you, and it is building, has built, all the different societies. Whether you're born into a herd of cows, there's still a pecking order, there's still an experience of life, there's still where you're at, there's still the fence problem, there's still all sorts of things that come with that species. Same thing with an ant, or a bee, or a variety of other species, a plant. You're still stuck in that part in the forest and can't move. And all of these are forced upon the living entities who accept the bodies, the material bodies, as a vehicle, as an opportunity to enjoy. Or they're forced to accept the body because of the quality of their previous activities in previous bodies. So this is a great science, the science of transmigration of the soul. And it's a very serious subject for study, and you're only going to get it in proper perspective from the Vedic literature. Study Bhagavad Gita as it is. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We call Him Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's books cover all of this subject matter in astonishing detail, clarity, purity, and intent to help you revive your eternal consciousness. That is the opportunity provided in the Vedic literature. This is how you free yourself from the force of illusion upon your bodily experience in the material world. Rise above that. Become the eternal servant of God again. Rise to God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, the topmost consciousness, where you see everything in proper perspective and you experience real joy, happiness, and bliss. That is your right. That is who you really are, not this temporary material person you're identifying with.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.